Shall we now turn to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 5. Gospel according to Luke chapter 5. And we shall read verse 27. Verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. Let us for a while linger on the phrase, He went forth. He went forth. Jesus went forth. In the gospel narratives, we find Jesus going and coming all the time. He is on the move all the time. What does he do? He comes and goes preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God. In the Gospel of Mark, we are told in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. This is how Jesus began his ministry. He had left his heavenly abode and come and preach and teach about the kingdom of God. He was to give the first-hand account. The message he always had, he always knew while he was with his Father, to come and give it to you and me. And having heard about the kingdom of God, he wanted people who heard to repent of their sins and believe in the good news of salvation. And when Jesus went about, we are told, all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That's the reason why he came. That was his mission. To teach, to preach, to heal all manner of disease among the people. And then again in Matthew chapter 9 verse 35 we are told, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. He did not do the thing that he did simply for the sake of doing. There was love in him. There was compassion in him. Compassion that moved him. Compassion moves us. Compassion cannot be neutral. You cannot feel for that person. You cannot be in that person's shoes and then withdraw. Compassion makes us take an action. And so he was moved with compassion when he saw the multitude, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now just reading a few passages from the gospel, we get a vivid picture of the activity of our Savior Jesus Christ. We see his pursuit to save the lost souls. We see his compassion come alive before us. We see his healing power and the power of the word and the power to forgive sins being demonstrated. Did he visit you? Or did you go to hear him speak any time in your life? The Lord Jesus Christ continues to speak, dear friends, through his servants. The Lord Jesus Christ continues to go into every village and city. As we are told here, he sent them forth, his disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ continues to go to every village and city, preaching the gospel through his servants, his disciples. His servants go, they see, they command them to believe and be saved. Now, so many people are seen. They are called and they are commanded almost every week. Every week. But they remain the same. In the book of Isaiah, we hear the Lord saying, I called and I spread my hand, but they would not take heed. How easily, when someone extends a hand to you, you give them your hand. Of course, coronavirus has stopped that from doing. That's another thing. But we easily extend our hand, isn't it? But we do not want to take God's hand. I called and I spread my hand, but they would not take heed. The people of Israel refused to stretch their hand and take hold of their Savior's hand. The Lord says everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. The enemies devour them. Satan is destroying their peace. They grab, they hold, they multiply, but they are never satisfied. There is no contentment in them. They gossip and malign other people's name. This has become their bread. There is no other talk but how to destroy the lovers of God and God's word. I stretch my hand, says the Lord, but they will not take hold of my hand. They will not enjoy the Lord's company. Like the dog that returns to its own vomit, they turn away from God. Yet, God stretches out his hand. Come. Come. Dear friends, will not the anger of the Lord burn if you do not return to him and hold on to him? How long, dear young ones, you will continue to come, continue to sit, continue to listen, and turn away from that outstretched hand of the Lord? How long? Your parents, your father or your mother, your brother or your sister, the servants of the Lord perhaps are always stretching their hand to lead you to the Lord. But you will not listen. You will not heed. We are told that Jesus went forth. He went forth. He goes where the unsaved sinners are. Then he sees. He goes and he sees. Luke chapter 5 verse 27. And after these things he went forth and saw. He saw a publican. A publican. He saw a man most hated by the Jews. Now listen to this. Jesus is the most righteous man. He is the Son of God that has come down from heaven. He has taken human flesh. He is sent by the Father on this earth. The people of the world are evil. One evil man hates the other man more evil than himself. And here is the publican whom Jesus our Lord went to see. This is a man who had no affection. That is the publican. He had no compassion for the poor and needy. His mind was occupied with making money. His mind was occupied with filling his treasury box. He was a man that seems to have lost all sense of guilt. His conscience was dead. His appreciation of good and evil had departed from his soul. It was dead to do good. He had no understanding of what it means to forgive. He had no idea of kindness. His whole purpose of living was to rise on the ladder of power and wealth. The publican had no attachment to his nation. He had lost his national identity. A publican was a man who had no patriotic value left in him. He was sold out for money, comfort, power, and gain. He would chew the finger of any demon as long as he got to entertain his flesh, his carnal desire. As long as he got to exercise the lust of his flesh, anything was okay. It is fine. The publicans were Jews that had turned against their own people and taken up jobs of taxing their own people. These had become the servants of the foreign nation. They had gone to work for Caesar. Now, there is nothing wrong to work for a foreign nation. Absolutely nothing. But they took up this job to rob their own people. They cheated their own people. They neither loved their God nor their fellow men. They took more than what was demanded. They cared neither for the widows nor for the orphans. They cared neither for the poor nor for the sick. They cared only for their own self and for their gain. This kind of men and women are plenty, even today. They may talk about love, they may talk about justice, they may talk about human rights, and they may talk about liberty, freedom, and even doing mighty works for God. However, their mind is only on themselves. On themselves. God is the name, and self is the gain. Young people must be careful when there are movements, new movements coming up to entice you and to win over your mind. Hold on to the word of God. Look what the Lord is saying. He is wisdom, perfect wisdom. But look at the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 27. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican. He went and saw a publican. The Jews would not even look at the publican's face. They probably spat every time they saw a publican. They probably were raging with wrath every time they saw a publican, a tax collector. Jesus, the most holy and righteous man that walked on earth, went and saw this most hated man. The Greek word used here, translated as saw, in our language means to behold. Jesus went and he beheld. It means to look or view attentively. To look at a person's face attentively. It is a looking at a person with admiration. It means to look in the face and contemplate upon with whole interest. Oh, that gaze of the Savior divine as he looks at you. Those eyes penetrating into the very soul and searching it out. Oh, that gaze of the most compassionate God. It must have caused such fear in this man's heart, and at the same time caused him to know that if at this moment, If I lose sight of this man's face, I am done with. That is what this publican, this tax collector, this man Levi must have gone through. I am finished if I lose sight of this man called Jesus. So, death and life took place at the same instant in the soul of this most hated person on the soil of Israel. He died and instantly came alive in his soul when the gaze of the Lord God Almighty, the God of life, fell upon Levi. Oh, Jesus the Savior restores a dead soul to life. What an awesome God. Has that happened to you? Then he heard this publican, the tax collector, the most hated man by his own people. He heard Jesus say, follow. Follow. Luke chapter 5 verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. Follow me. Come after me. Join me. Yoke with me. We are told by the evangelist in verse 28, and he left all. Levi, he left all. Rose up and followed him. Here is a man who has spent his whole life sitting in his office collecting taxes. He built an empire for himself, like Zacchaeus, sitting in this office. Perhaps it was handed down to him by his father or even his grandfather. They had lived in luxury by extortion. They feared Caesar and his power, but not their God. They bowed down to Caesar, but not their God, who formed them and gave them the Savior and delivered them from the mighty hand of Pharaoh. For the sake of money and comfort and for preserving their lives, they would do anything. Now Christ Jesus comes along, looks at his face, speaks the word, follow me. And this man called Levi, Matthew is another name for him. He has written the gospel according to Matthew. He left all, rose up and followed Jesus. He cut himself off from his past roots instantly. This is the power of the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. It must separate you and me, dear friends. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no middle path in following Christ, half here and half there. This is indeed incredible. First of all, it is incredible that Jesus, the only Holy One on this whole earth, should go to see the face of a man called Levi, the publican. It is incredible that the Holy One of God, who hates sin, should go and see a sinner. A sinner, just like you and I. That too, a terrible sinner he was, who is hated most by even worse sinners, the self-righteous like Pharisees. This is the problem with most of us. We see others as terrible sinners. We reject people whom we see as haters of God, while we could be worse than them who practice religion. We see Jesus leaving aside those that think they are okay. Jesus leaves them. You're okay? All right. Jesus leaves aside those that are fine. And he goes to those that are terrible. Terrible. You know, many a times on the streets, when we extend the gospel tracts, people say, I'm fine. Thank you. I'm fine. Thank you. I'm okay. Even yesterday, we heard some say this as our sisters handed the gospel tracts to some people. Many a times, when we knock on the door to speak to a household about the Savior, Jesus Christ, they say, thank you. I'm okay. Are you really okay? Are you really fine? There's no roughness in you. You're smooth. The Lord Jesus Christ looked at Levi. And Levi came to know by that look of the Savior that nothing is okay with him. There's nothing that is fine with him. He understood that nothing was right in him. He understood the urgency with which he had to leave everything and follow Jesus. He understood that he was a dead man. He understood that he was an empty man. Empty. He understood that all that he had was vanity. Vanity. He was wasting himself on vanity. Wasting himself. And that's what it is, dear friend. Vanity eats us up like cancer. And we allow that vanity to feed itself. Oh, dear friends, young men and women, are you not wasting your life on vanity? Are you not? To what level will your ambition take you? To what level will your imaginations take you? Without Christ to lead and guide, without Christ to be the captain of your life, you are rudderless, tossed by the waves of the sea, having no destination or hope. God must call you. He called little Samuel. And you must know that it is the Lord who is calling you. Life was in front of Levi. The fountain of refreshment was before him. The word that gives life in abundance was right near him. Right near him. The fullness of God was before him. He could do nothing but leave all that he had. Rise up and follow Jesus. Dear friends, children, you may think that you are fine. You may think that you are okay. You may convince yourself that this preacher is only a talk. You may say, I have heard enough of it. I have my own mind and my own way of life and my own belief. I don't need others to teach me. Look what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 2 verse 8. Romans chapter 2 verse 8. The Word of God says, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, upon them indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, for there is no respect of persons with God. Do you understand this, dear friends? No matter how great a sinner you are, Jesus will go out to you. Jesus will see into your eyes. Jesus will call you. But if you remain stubborn, if you become contentious and not obey his call to return to the truth and the righteous living, God's wrath and tribulation and anguish will be upon you. The word contentious has a very disturbing meaning here. It is not only about arguing against God, but it is going against God in order to take the place of God. So it's not just arguing, but you're arguing and going against God in order to take the place of God. It is about putting yourself forward up, and you will do this at any cost. At any cost. Even stopping, or rather stooping, very low and employing a base degree of behavior and means. It is a terrible way to live. It stinks. It's a very dangerous life to live, dear friends. The consequences of this is eternal damnation. You know, the Bible is given for us for correction. And it begins with the preacher. The word of God corrects the preacher first. I don't read the Bible so that I find whom to correct, whom to sort of chastise in a way with words and hurt them and I get the joy. That is not what God's intention is. I will be judged if I do so. And I thank God there are people in this congregation who have not seen me, but have heard the word and have grown in the Lord. That's what it is all about. You will not see the man who is talking, but the words that are coming out from his mouth. And then what he's talking, we must find out if that man is what he's talking. But even if that man who is talking does not follow the Lord, follow Christ Jesus, his words. It's a terrible way to live, dear friends, trying to take the place of God. It stinks, it is very dangerous, and the consequence of this is eternal damnation. Will God respect your intelligence, if you have any? Will God respect their position in society? You may be a leader. You may be a governor. You may be the queen. You may be the president or the pope. God is not the respecter of any man. No man. So don't be contentious with the Lord God, the Holy One, the Compassionate One, the One who can also destroy. It is important to know that while God is loving and kind, He is also just, and He therefore must punish those that are against Him. Look, He went to Levi, He is also called Matthew. Jesus saw him and He called him. Did Jesus call Levi to follow Him and allow him to continue to live his old lifestyle of extortion and his hedonistic way of life? No, definitely not. He left his old life behind. Matthew or Levi, when Jesus called him, he left his old life behind and joined Jesus, the righteous Son of God. You cannot have both your sins and Christ Jesus. You can come to Him as you are for salvation. No doubt about it. Now this is misunderstood when people say, come to Jesus as you are. And people think to come to Jesus as you are also means to live with Jesus as you were before. No change. And millions of young people and people, adults, who read the word cannot see the separation that must take place once you start following Christ. God hates sin. He cannot mingle himself in sin, dear friends. So you see, you can come to Him as you are for salvation. But once you come to Him and attach yourself to Him, you must live a pure and holy life. The old must go away. Once you are joined to Him, your old self dies. You are then on you are a new creation. The things you used to do, you cannot do it anymore. In Christ Jesus, you become a new creation. You cannot have both. I cannot have both, dear friends. Once you become His, you become His witness. You become His witness. You begin to tell other sinners like you what Christ Jesus has done for you. It comes naturally. It just goes to talk about Jesus. He is the gift, as you know. Jesus is the perfect gift, the best gift that a person can have from the Heavenly Father. You don't hide your gift. You begin to tell everyone. Visitors come in the house, you keep it as a centerpiece so that they can see and ask, "Oh, that's lovely. Oh, that was given to me by so and so as a present." Isn't it? How can you then hide the Lord, the glorious one who has come within you? You just cannot. You just cannot, dear friends. You are a new creation. So once you become His, you become His witness. You begin to tell other sinners like you what Christ Jesus has done for you. You become Jesus' servant. You become Jesus' living witness. If you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you begin to live a life in the Spirit. This is exactly what Levi did. Look at verse 29. Luke chapter 5, verse 29. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him. Levi invited Jesus for lunch in his own house. And he called many of his type, the publicans and others. Perhaps he called the Roman government officials. He perhaps called the Roman soldiers that he had made friends with and he dealt with. He wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to talk to them too about the good news of salvation. The disciples of Jesus were also there at Levi's house. Now, perhaps you remember in your own life. I remember when I became a Christian, I wanted to call people for lunch, you know, or for some tea. And call them over to the house and then give them the gospel. Give them the gospel. We see it, what Matthew is doing. It comes but that naturally, as I would say. And once you become His follower, once you are joined to Christ, you cannot but tell others about Jesus Christ. We must also remember that the moment you join yourself to Jesus Christ, there will be opposition. There will be opposition. All sorts of people will come against you. First, your own family members, your religious leaders, your friends and relatives, they will segregate you. Since you will no more be joining your work colleagues for a drink in the pub and other activities that do not meet the standards of the Lord your Savior, they might drift away from you and mock you. Children, young people, if you are going to the university for the first time, if you are in Christ, you are going to face tough time. Young people want to enjoy. They will look at you as coward, as odd. They will banish you. But remember, if you are in Christ, and if you are standing for Christ, they will definitely know one thing. They don't have what you have. They will know that they are down, but you are up, strong, having character. having integrity, not being soiled by the things of this earth. They will definitely know within. The first ones to come and discourage Levi were the very people that said they are godly people. In verse 30, we'll come a little later. So they were the first one to come and discourage Levi. They were the very people that hated Levi. They were the theologians and Pharisees. But look, they did not attack Levi directly. Perhaps they did. They attacked the disciples of Jesus. They turned to the disciples of Jesus to make them feel guilty. They said to them, look at verse 30, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Do you see that? This is evil. This is ignoble, sordid behavior. If you cannot get the leader, they turn to those that follow him. If you cannot get those that follow Jesus, they turn to destroy their family members. Wicked people who want to destroy you will put dirty thoughts in the minds of those that are close to you, who love you and honor you. And that is what these teachers of religion were doing. They put doubts and suspicions in the minds attached to Jesus. The disciples were attached to Jesus. So they go about putting dirty thoughts in their mind. How can you mix with publicans and sinners? Look at your leader, what he's doing. This is repugnant and dirty behavior, dear friends. They have no backbone to stand on their own. This is what the Pharisees and the scribes did. Why are you following after the manner of that man? Why are you entangling yourself with him? He's dangerous. He's useless. He's breaking up our established order, our tradition. He's a troublemaker. For the sake of this name, for the sake of this man, or rather for the sake of the nation, this Jesus must die. He is a terrible error. He's preaching error. He is putting you in danger. But Jesus comes to the aid of his disciples. Jesus always stands by his faithful people. So Jesus replied, verse 31, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Levi was a sinner. The moment Jesus Christ cast his eyes upon his eyes, Levi saw his own sinfulness. He saw his own sinfulness. He saw in himself his dead soul, filthy and decaying. But at the same time, he saw in Jesus his salvation, his Savior. His soul suddenly came alive and longed to be handled and cradled and taken care of by Jesus. That is what you become, dear friend. When you come to Christ, you become like a child. Unless you become like a child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God, says the Lord Jesus Christ. He simply wanted to give his soul into the hand of his Creator so that Jesus could repair it, reform it, fix it, renew it, and make it whole. Make it whole. And Levi revived. You can be revived too. You can be made whole too. It's a miracle, the greatest miracle, dear friends. Greatest miracle to be saved. Jesus came not for those that are okay with their soul and cool with their soul and fine with their soul, but for the sick. For the sick.
He came not for the people who say that they are good, that they know everything. He not come for the people who say, I know how to construct the sentences and how to work out the gospel message. Oh, this is the way I do and that is the way I do. He's come for useless people like you and me. Perhaps you are better than me. You are definitely better than me. He came not for the people who say that they are good. How are you? I am good. What a bad statement that is. That's a trend, isn't it? How are you? Oh, I'm good. What a bad statement that is. What a lie that is. You are not good. You are not good. You're bad. And you need not be made good if you don't want to. But you definitely need to be made good. Jesus came to make sinners to repent, not to remain the same. To repent means to turn from evil to good, from yourself to God. May the Lord God gaze into your eyes this day and say, follow me, follow me, shall be blessed.